All right, welcome into the Patriots podcast. Sean here with JJ.
Hello.
So is this the wild card recap or is this the divisional round preview?
I'd say it's a little mix of both.
Yeah, a little bit of both. So after a vastly entertaining, note the sarcasm, wild card weekend of just blowout games, we look forward to the Patriots hosting the Texans this weekend in the divisional round. Night game, Foxborough, Saturday night. And we knew going into wild card weekend, the Pats could only, our first opponent was only going to be the Dolphins, Texans, or Raiders. Raiders, obviously, with a backup quarterback. Dolphins as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we felt pretty good about whichever team we were going to be matched up with. You still feeling that way with the Texans?
Yeah, and I mean, so I didn't get to catch most of the games, just for the viewers out there, due to work issues, but I saw the scores, I saw the stats, I saw parts of each game, and basically what we said last week came to fruition. So all the teams looked pretty sad, no matter who we were going to get. And the Texans, I mean, you look at them statistically, I really didn't get to see a whole lot of what happened. But, I mean, looking at these stats, you could basically assume they lost. I mean,
kind of.
It's really not, it's like, how did they, it's more of how did they win? You know, what they do to win, and it's just, oh, and then you look, Oakland threw three picks. Okay, well, there you go.
Yeah, they had a bunch of turnovers. And, there was one right off the bat where Jadeveon Clowney made an unbelievably athletic play.
Yeah.
The coordination on that, he's 6'6", 270.
Yeah, it was a nice play.
Unbelievable play. And he sets them up, like, right at the doorstep. So the whole game kind of went that way. I mean, Connor Cook, first start ever in the playoffs. Real tough spot to be against.
First rookie ever to do it.
Oh, really?
First rookie to ever start their first game in a playoff. Like, their first start is a playoff game.
Dang. Not to mention he's going on the road to face the number one defense in the league.
They ended up one number one?
Number one in terms of total defense. This is where it gets a little tricky.
Yards-wise, right?
Yes. The Texans let up the fewest amount of yards. The Patriots let up the fewest amount of points.
Right.
You can be the judge, which is the actual number one defense. What's the better stat?
Probably points.
Probably points. You would think so, right? But for the longest time, they've always said total defense is like number one defense, whatever it is. You could get some geeks in here that are going to talk about DVOA or some advanced statistical models, but we'll just stick with points and in yards here.
Okay.
So, yeah, Connor Cook obviously in a tough position. He didn't have a great game, and they knew it right away. They knew what the crutches were going to be, and they took those away. Obviously, screen passes. Easy play for a quarterback, try to get the ball out of his hands quickly, and that's what Clowney was doing. He was guarding against a quick screen pass to the wide receiver, and he did it a couple times. He swatted a pass earlier, and so they tried it again. He intercepted it.
Yeah. So
it's not the Texans were playing the highest caliber of offensive opponent.
Well, yeah. I mean, this is, like you said, this is his first game ever. I mean, think of what we did when we put in Brissett. What, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, you know, it was vanilla. It's bread and butter. We, you know, hand the ball off, try and make some simple plays. He actually had to take 45 attempts, which is pretty tough, probably because they were coming from behind, I assume.
Connor Cook, yeah.
But very vanilla. I mean, it's not like the kid, you know, he's been there all year, but he hasn't played. So you really can't throw that much at him. And if you're a good defense, you're going to feed off that. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, it's not like Osweiler saved this game. He was 14 for 25 for 170 yards.
Yeah, nothing special.
I mean, very pedestrian, and they scored 27 points, so someone did something.
A lot of it was off of turnovers. Yeah. I mean, you mentioned Jacoby Brissett. The first time, or the time this year, the Patriots faced the Texans, Thursday Night Football, Week 3. We hosted the Texans, and this was the week after Garoppolo hurt his shoulder, so Jacoby Brissett made his first start.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, even he got lucky. He got to play a half of football against the Dolphins. He had a luxury that
Connor Cook
didn't even have. But in that game, Jacoby Brissett threw for 97 yards. So it's not like we were quarterback heavy.
Yeah, I've got 103 here, but
well,
either way.
He got sacked and lost 6 yards. It's however you want to calculate
Okay. So either way, yeah. And we beat them by 27 points.
Yeah, they actually had more yards offensively than we did, but we shut them out. I mean, that goes to show how important big plays and turnovers are, like field position-wise, because we remember in that game the Texans fumbled two kickoff returns. Patriots recovered both, turned them both into points. And that's really how the game got out of hand.
Yeah. I mean, you look at Osweiler's stats from that game. He was 24 for 41 for 196 yards. So just under 200 and an interception. So awful that game. I mean, this game, what are you saying, QBR? Yeah,
QBR of 29. And for people
in this game or last game?
When Osweiler played the Patriots.
Yeah.
QBR 29, and for people who aren't that familiar with that stat, a QBR of 50 is average.
Yeah, so that's
well below.
Very bad.
Jacoby Brissett was 62 QBR.
Yeah. Do you know what Osweiler was this game?
No. I don't have those stats pulled up. But this matchup is, I mean, it might even be the most difficult matchup of those three teams, just because the Texans' defense is the best unit of any of those three teams' units.
And all their offensive, right? And all their offenses are terrible. Between what, you know, Miami, you saw what they did. Pittsburgh, I've been saying, they don't have a very good defense, and they stifled Miami. You know, Oakland got destroyed, couldn't do anything. So,
It's not like the Texans did that much offensively either.
Yeah.
So now we get to host them for the second time this season. We've really had their number over the last few years. I mean, you can go back to, I think we played them on a Sunday night. It might have been a Monday night game in like 2012 when J.J. Watt was just bursting onto the scene and they had like Letterman jackets, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was funny. We just touched them. And then we obviously have been taking care of business against them the last couple of years.
Well, I'm sorry, Osweiler, just for his QBR wasn't that bad this game. It was like in the 80s, 85, I think, it just said.
Wow.
So not bad.
Not bad. He did a lot of handing off.
Yeah. Well, the thing I think is funny is a lot of people said that this game, that the running game saved it. You know, Grimes had four rushes for 30 yards, which isn't bad. But Miller, I mean, he had 31 attempts for 73 yards. That isn't good.
No, it's not.
Like, people are like, oh, well, Lamar Miller kind of carried him into this game. And it's like, that's barely 2 yards a carry.
I know.
That's bad.
Yeah. They just kept going to it, handing it off. And I would expect kind of a similar, I mean,
they can't really do much.
Well, that's what they want to do. They want to run the ball. That's basically all they want to do is they want to run the ball and they want to throw it to DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And the Patriots defense is really good at taking that type of shit away. And that's probably why we've been so successful against the Texans the last couple of years.
Because that's all they can do.
That's all they can do, yeah.
That's all they want to do.
You don't have a playmaker, a quarterback. Maybe, I mean, they would have to rely on a guy like Will Fuller, who's a rookie speedster. We talked about him before the first matchup. He had like 100 yards in his first two games as a pro, and then basically hasn't done diddly since.
Mm-hmm.
He's very one-dimensional. He's a guy that runs straight, and he makes plays down the field, and if you take that away, then that's that.
Yeah.
They just don't have weapons on offense. Lamar Miller is a good back, but you can devote resources towards stopping that.
Oh, absolutely.
You can actually just let them try to run it.
I mean, right. You could give them the run, essentially, if you wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
But we've done that to teams in the past, and it's worked. I mean, we don't even, you know, defensively, against the run this year, we're fourth ranked.
Yeah, we're very good. It helps that we play with the lead most of the time.
True, exactly. But still, I mean, it's not like, I don't think we've allowed a 100-yard rusher this year. Maybe one, have we?
I don't know. But another stat that would back this up is our yards per attempt defensively is eighth in the league, only 3.9 yards per attempt.
Well, that's a hell of a stat you got there.
Yeah, so even, they're not putting up yards. They're not running efficiently. We have a track record of shutting this type of stuff down.
Yeah.
And we all know what Logan Ryan has been able to do against DeAndre Hopkins. Logan Ryan is our third cornerback right now.
Yeah, and he played great against Hopkins.
Yeah, he's done it the last two times we've played. He's essentially shut him down. I mean, he's still got, I think, like 120 yards combined between the two games. But for a guy that averaged 100 yards a game last season,
That's
pretty good over a two-game stretch. And then even if Logan Ryan, for some reason, wasn't getting it done, you just go to Eric Rowe, who's a longer body, could be maybe more physical outside. And then if that doesn't work, you got our best corner, Malcolm Butler, who you could put on him.
I mean, it's I don't know where they're off. Their GM should get fired. I mean, you look at this offense, it's where is everybody? Where's the tight end? Where's the other receivers? What the hell's going on here? And it's we're not the only ones that feel like that. The line opened up at what, 15.5, 16-point favorite for the Patriots?
One
of
the biggest. And it keeps going up.
And it keeps going up. It's the biggest since 1998 Minnesota Vikings. And if it reaches 18, which people think it might, it's going to be the biggest in NFL history. And if you look at all those teams, you know, the top five teams that were favored that much, it was like the 49ers twice. Like I said, the Vikings, maybe one of the Bears teams years ago, most of them covered. And the one team that didn't cover might have been a Dallas team back in the 70s or something.
Yeah.
I don't know when it was, but they still won. They didn't cover the spread, but they won. So every one of them won the game. Outright.
I don't see that being very predictive of this. You know, whatever Steve Young and the 49ers did
I know,
in 1994 doesn't have that much
but
of
if you're
a say on this
it's
game.
Just saying if you're that much, if you're supposed to be that much better than them, you're probably going to win.
Okay, I have two counterexamples to that. 2001 and 2007 Super Bowls, both 14-point underdogs won those games, Patriots and the Giants.
Well.
Just saying.
Yep, okay.
But that being said, there's no way the Texans can score with us.
No.
And so the whole game is going to rest on can our offense look like our offense? And if you look over the course of our season,
you would say yes.
Yeah, with Tom Brady back, so this is weeks 5 and onward. We only scored less than 20 points one time, and it was to the Broncos, and that was because we took the lead and basically played conservative football throughout.
Just didn't want to make mistakes, exactly. And they didn't want that pass rush getting to Brady. I mean, this is a Houston team in week three, we scored 27 on with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, this is Tom Brady now. So everyone's saying, yeah, these are different teams. Houston's different too. It's like, well, we got our best player back. Match that.
Yeah, we also lost Gronkowski, but he wasn't.
He wasn't even playing in that game.
He wasn't playing very much. He was a blocker for almost every snap. I think we threw it to him once.
Yeah.
And so, they had J.J. Watt in that game, although it was a shell of J.J. Watt.
But he's still not there.
Yeah, he's out now. Brian Cushing didn't play in that game. He's back now. He's a very good inside linebacker. You put him next to Bernardrick McKinney on the inside, and you got one of the best linebacker duos in the league. That's not to mention however you want to classify Jadeveon Clowney and Whitney Mercilus on the outside, who are pretty good edge
pretty
rushers.
Good. Definitely.
And then they got depth on the back end too. They got Jonathan Joseph, the veteran. Kareem Jackson is kind of a tweener between cornerback and safety. He might be a little overrated. He could be beat. But then the guy who's really stepped up after Kevin Johnson got injured is AJ Boye, who really burst onto the scene. Do you remember that Monday night game that the Texans played against the Raiders in Mexico City? And AJ Boye was just all over the field, and he hasn't given up that starting job. He might be their best corner at this point.
Wow.
So they got some depth on the outside. They got good linebackers, good edge rushers. We didn't even mention Vince Wilfork in the middle, who he's not the same player. He's just
no. Well, he's talking about retiring after this. You know, this might be his last game. How fitting in New England.
I know. That'd be nice.
Hopefully, yeah.
The Patriots would have to win to make this his last game.
I mean, normally I would say the Texans don't have a chance. I mean, there's no chance in hell. The only thing that's preventing me from saying that is the 2010 season, which we've brushed upon, you know, in earlier podcasts. You know, how we were 14-2, we were going in, you know, into the end of the season. The Jets were coming to New England. We thought we were going to kick the shit out of them, and they ended up taking that game somehow. They figured out our offense and, you know, beat it. I don't think the Texans can do that, and I don't think they can score. I mean, people are saying, okay, for the Texans to beat us, they have to silence our offense to about 20, you know, somewhere between 17 and 24 points, and then they have to kind of stick with us and score. Well, that's the thing. I don't think they can, even if they keep us to 17 points, I don't think they can score 17 points.
The only way that they'll be able to score with us, I think, is they need to force two turnovers, and they need a special teams play.
Yeah, I was going to say special teams play. And actually, if you think about it, special teams play for them in the earlier game this year was actually very bad.
Well,
so
did they
muff up?
In terms of DVOA, they have the worst special teams in the NFL.
So there you go. So you might rule that one out. I think a pick six for the Patriots is guaranteed. It's a lock this game.
Because of Osweiler,
and we haven't had one all season. So those two, is creating a perfect storm for a pick six automatically for the Pats.
You think they're due?
They're definitely due.
Osweiler threw an interception in their first matchup. Two. That's a long pause.
Jamie Collins.
There he is.
Yeah, there you go.
Jamie Collins. Yeah, he was incredible in that game.
Yep.
Obviously, he's not going to be there. Jonathan Freeney was also our other inside linebacker.
He's
on
gone.
IR. But Dante Hightower was inactive for that game. He's going to be active again. He's got some more rest. Hopefully, his knee is working well. And we've also had the emergence of Shea McClellan, Kyle Van Noy, Landon Roberts on running downs.
Mm-hmm. Well, he played a lot in that game, didn't he?
I don't remember him playing much. I thought it was Jamie and Freeney all the way.
I thought Roberts played a little bit.
I really noticed Roberts in the Browns game, which was 2 weeks afterwards.
Maybe.
That's what I thought his coming out party was.
Hmm.
So, I mean, both teams are definitely different, you know, 3 months later than they were beforehand. But the Patriots have been very healthy, knock on wood, everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Amendola is back at practice. Malcolm Mitchell is back at practice. So we're going to have some decisions to make from the wide receiver core as to who's active and who's not. But we'll have even more weapons for Brady, despite Gronk not being there. Obviously, Brady's back. And Cyrus Jones is the only real questionable injury guy. And you just don't need him.
Yeah, you really
don't. You just don't.
Yeah, it's no point of risking it. It's just, yeah, I mean, the defenses we've even played this year, I mean, we've scored on, think about what we did to Seattle in Baltimore. I mean, similar defenses in my mind, good pass rush, good guys on the back end. And we scored 27 points versus Seattle. And was it 24 or 27 versus Seattle? And then we scored a bunch versus Houston, versus the Ravens. We scored a 27 on the Houston earlier in the season. I mean, nobody's really, like you said, nobody's held us to under 20 points.
And that Broncos game.
Just the Broncos game. And we knew that was going to happen. I mean, that defense is always the only one that has always routinely given us problems. Houston's defense has never given us problems in the past. You know, it's like historically we score a lot of points on them no matter what. And if we shut down the run, what is Osweiler going to be able to do?
That's what's going to happen is we're going to shut down the run. We're going to take away DeAndre Hopkins for the most part. He'll have like 50, 60 yards. But then we're going to force Osweiler to throw it elsewhere, and
he won't be able to do it.
He just can't do it.
He just can't do it. I mean,
yeah. The tight ends will catch a couple balls. They got Fedorowicz and Ryan Griffin, and Will Fuller might catch a ball or two. Braxton Miller's on IR, so they lose their third option. And he's going to have to anticipate. He's going to have to put the ball in tight windows, and he just hasn't shown that ability to do that without turning the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, and on top of all that, our defense is playing very well.
Yeah, much better now than we were then.
Exactly. And we shut him out. We shut him out. Yeah, and we weren't even a good defense at that point. Well, after that game, we considered it. But a couple weeks after, you know, even beyond that, people were seriously questioning this defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, and now, I mean, for the last 6 weeks, we've been playing pretty much flawless. After that Seattle game, you know, it's pretty much been, you know, we haven't played the best talent, but this isn't even close to the best talent. This is a quarterback that was benched.
Yeah, he's only in there because his backup got hurt.
Yeah.
That's
it. He was benched, and the guy who took over is hurt, so he had to go back. So this isn't, they don't even want to play him.
Oh, Bill O'Brien absolutely doesn't want to play him.
Right.
So it's do you think they'll sit him? Because Tom Savage is coming back from a concussion. All signs are pointing to him being available to at least dress. I mean, Osweiler just won a...
He just won you the game, so I would say you'd stay with that because he was your starter.
Yeah, you think so, right?
But the Jets routinely tried to bench their starter in Fitzpatrick, even when he won. He would come back. He came back and won him a game, I think, after...
Different situation, not
the playoffs, definitely. But I think you play him, but still, it's like our defense is averaging 15 point whatever points per game. So, and that's across the board. We've played some decent offenses, so this is a bad offense. If they 15 points won't win them the game, even if they get 17 points won't win them the game. They're going to need to score at least 24, I feel like, for this to be close or for them to win.
And I think the lowest total that the Patriots would put up is 16 or 17. That's the absolute basement of what we'll be able to score. And I just don't see them doing that.
Yeah.
I don't see the Texans getting there outside of colossal mistakes. I mean, our offensive line falling apart after looking so good for the last half a season.
They've been playing great. I mean, think about, you know, Marcus Cannon right now. Who would he'd be matched up against? Merciless.
Congratulations to Marcus Cannon, second team All Pro.
Yeah,
Marcus
Cannon. Did
he
make second team All Pro?
Yeah.
Wow. What are the other Patriots that made second team All-Pro? I didn't see the list.
First team was Matthew Slater.
Yep.
And second team was Nate Ebner as a special teamer.
Oh, wow.
Marcus Cannon, Malcolm Butler, Dante Hightower, Devin McCourty, and that might have been it. Oh, Brady. And Brady, obviously.
So most of our team, everyone made second team All-Pro pretty much, which is pretty good. But the fact that Cannon made it, you're right.
I mean,
that's huge. Now we have a right tackle for the future. There you go. Congratulations, Dante Sinertia. You are the man.
Skarnecchia.
Skarnecchia.
Wow, that was.
I've had a rough 3 days. All right. So.
Yeah. Who's playing tight end for the Patriots this weekend? No, we don't need to go there.
I'm not telling you.
Yeah.
Marty.
In last year's.
Good old Marty.
Last year's game when the Patriots went to Houston. This is when J.J. Watt was playing and he was having another Defensive Player of the Year type season. And we were really worried about our offensive line, obviously. Last season, our offensive line was dog shit.
Yeah.
And we still put up like 27 points.
Yeah.
And Brady was getting the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds.
Gronk, you didn't hear from
game.
Watt once in
no,
that game.
No, not at all. And you definitely didn't hear from him this season.
Yeah.
So the right side of that offensive line has been playing terrific. I would expect that to continue against Whitney Merciless. Now, the question is the left side with Nate Solder and Jadeveon Clowney, who primarily plays on the left side of the offense, like the offense's left side, defense's right side.
You know,
Jadeveon Clowney is exploding right now.
He's playing well, but I mean, it's not like Solder hasn't played him before.
Right.
He's played him, what, three? When was Clowney drafted? 3 years ago?
He was drafted 3 years ago. He's been injured. So they played each other last season and this season.
So a few matchups there. And, you know, Clowney has flashed against us. He's, you know, had some of his better games, I feel like, against us in the past, comparatively what he was doing before. I mean, he doesn't frighten me, you know?
He frightens me.
He isn't showing enough to me. I mean, that was like you said, that was a good play. He played really well with that pick and everything. But when you said it, that makes more sense. You know, it's almost like, okay, they're going to do a lot of screen passes. Watch for the screen pass.
Yeah,
you know,
that's what they were looking for. Three-step drops. That's all.
My point is, they're not going to know that with the Patriots. They're going to have fucking no idea.
You're right.
No idea what we're doing. They're going to be like, okay, watch for the screen pass. No, they're probably not going to know that. I mean, they'll have a few ideas, but it's not going to be something that cut and dry.
Yeah, we'll be all over the place. And obviously, Brady has much better pocket movement than Connor Cook, the statue, does.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, those types of throws this year, Brady's been incredible with just getting rid of it, knowing that, you know, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Connor Cook has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, and with how good Marcus Cannon's played on the right side, we can, if we want to keep an extra guy, like if you want to shade the back, if you want to shade the offensive line in a direction, keep a tight end in the block, you can do all of that on Clowney's side.
Was it his pass rushing this game that was very, you know, he was killing it pass rushing wise as well?
Against the Raiders? Yeah. He's all around. He's a very, very good player. That's why he made the Pro Bowl this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I don't know.
It's one player to think about.
But it's, yeah, how much of a game changer? Is he going to win him the game? I can't see it.
Well, every week, especially playoff time, there are guys to think about. I mean, we played Von Miller.
Exactly.
We played this defense before. We've seen the Ravens in town. There's always a challenge.
Seattle, you know, all those guys over there. I mean,
mm-hmm.
And we've scored against them all. We didn't win the Seattle game. We scored against Seattle.
Yeah, we should have scored more.
Yeah, we missed a few opportunities there. So, I mean, there's not really a whole lot we can keep, you know, restating over this game. It's going to take a shitload for Houston to win this. There's going to need a lot of things to go right for them and a whole hell of a lot more to go wrong for the Patriots for them to even have a chance to be in the game.
Yeah, everything's got to break their way. I mean, you're talking like downfield defensive pass interference against the Patriots. You're talking about missed field goals from Gostkowski.
Interceptions, a couple of turnovers.
100% they're going to need turnovers.
The field position, they're going to have to start drives at like the 50.
Yeah, and they're going to have to jump out to an early lead so we're not running the ball as much, which we're doing so much better this season than last.
Absolutely. I mean, we've been killing it against the run.
Well, killing it, running
the ball. Killing it, running the ball, I mean. But, yeah, also against the run. But, yes. So
there's too many – you got to think that there's too many things that would have to go in their direction in order for this game somehow to even be close, yeah. Really.
I mean, the spread says it all to me.
Yeah, that's why people keep jumping on the Pats.
And people are jump. That's the thing. They made the spread at that, and everyone's buying into the Patriots.
Yeah.
It's not like people are like, all right, that's why it's rising, because people are still, oh, wow, that's a great bet. I'll take the Patriots. They covered versus the Jets. Why can't they cover against Houston? That's what people are thinking.
And for a point of reference, that 2010 playoff game against the Jets, Patriots were 9-point favorites.
Okay.
This game we're going to be double that. Just
now,
about.
The one difference, you know, in hindsight for that game that I will say, and obviously I can't say it for this current team, but when you look at the way our offense operated in 2010, Rex Ryan and I think the safety, whoever the safety was at that time on the team, found, you know, kind of
Jim Leonard.
Leonard, yeah, there you go. Yeah. He kind of found the Achilles heel, because a lot of what we did was with the way Woodhead came out of the backfield. And they kind of figured out how to stop that. And when they did, that was like the linchpin. Our offense kind of fell apart at that point, and that's what happened. We have so many different options on offense this time around that there's not really a linchpin. Okay, you shut down Blount, you know, we go to something else. You cover Edelman up and you shut down Hogan, like we go to Bennett. I mean, it's just so many different levels of what we can do on offense that, you know.
That offense also had a lot of options.
They also had a lot of options, but once they covered Woodhead in a way that Brady's security blanket was gone.
Yeah, and they threw Revis on Wes Welker. See ya.
Yeah.
That was vintage Revis.
And then Gronk and Hernandez were rookies.
Yeah.
So.
And then Deion Branch, man.
And he actually had a decent game that time around, but not enough.
Yeah.
And our defense wasn't nearly as good back then.
Oh my God, no.
They were terrible.
Not at all.
Weren't they really bad?
They weren't really bad. The season following that, they were really, really bad.
Yeah.
But that was a team that had Devin McCourty as a rookie at cornerback.
Yeah.
And Patrick Chung was starting at safety. Brandon Merriweather was a starting safety. This was Patrick Chung, the first stint, where not very good.
And we didn't have him in the right position.
Yeah, exactly.
He was basically playing McCourty's position when he should have been playing Merriweather's position. Kind of the way they had Merriweather playing. And, I mean, the only other guys, you had Vince and you had Mayo.
Mm-hmm.
And then everybody else was, you know, they had some other pieces there, like Ninkovich and stuff, but nobody, I mean, it just overall not as, you know, that was Ninkovich, early Ninkovich, too.
Yeah, this is a better defense now. And, I mean, all the numbers bear that out.
You can't even compare them, really.
Yeah. The similarities really begin and end with this team being 14-2 and heavy favorites. And that's why people are nervous.
A little nervous, yeah. That's it.
Because we have nothing to win, really. Everything to lose, you know, the
right
opposite of what the Texans have.
Yeah, exactly. We've had the Texans number, so it's going to be tough for them.
And our kicker has been performing very well. Their kicker is pretty average. We're going to be playing outdoors in January. Potential weather, potential. It's supposed to snow on Sunday, so if anything gets moved up, we're talking Saturday night.
And they're used to playing in Houston.
Yeah, and they have a dome with a retractable roof.
So, right, that's another huge part. And it's fucking freezing here. It's 10 degrees right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, to Houston, you think they're excited about that?
Yeah. Do you have a prediction for this game? I'll go first. I think we're looking at 27-10, which is like right in line with the spread. I know that I didn't do that on purpose. Just we
seem to put up 27 points against this team for some reason.
I'll go 34-7.
34-7, even bigger.
Right. Yeah, I just think it's going to be toast.
Yeah.
I really do. I mean, looking at this weekend, this is by far the worst game.
Mm.
The most lopsided game. This upcoming week. I mean, look at the other three games. Those are the best matchups we've seen all year.
I know, right? They're arguably all must-see games. Steelers, arguably the Kansas best. City, Seattle in Atlanta. Green Bay going to Dallas. Those are all unbelievable games.
You look at Green Bay going to Dallas. I mean, that might be the game I've been looking forward to all year.
Yeah,
at this point, with the way everything's unfolded up to this point. I mean, that, you know, the way Dallas has been playing, how Green Bay just played against the Giants, who are the only ones that have beaten Dallas.
Didn't they play earlier?
They did, and Dallas went to Green Bay and spanked them, but that's when Rodgers was basically – he just wasn't playing like himself. Mm-hmm. The offense wasn't rolling. The defense was playing bad. Now the defense is playing at least decently. I mean, I don't know how they only let up 14 points to the Giants, but
– Drop balls.
Drop balls, yeah, exactly. Drop balls. But Green Bay has a chance. I mean, just Aaron Rodgers, he must be – I mean, he might have – I don't know if he's got some kind of record or something for Hail Marys as the clock's ticking down for a half or at the end of the game. But I feel like he does it way more than anybody else in that position when, you know, okay, you got one more throw, throw it up there. That usually never converts. And he's like three to one interception, a touchdown interception ratio or something right now.
Dang. Yeah, I mean, he had the one against the Lions. He had all that shit against the Cardinals in the playoffs last year and then this one.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think, so for comparison, I saw on ESPN today that Ryan Fitzpatrick touchdown and interception ratio in the red zone is 1.7. Aaron Rodgers is 3.0 on Hail Marys with the clock, with no time left on the clock.
There you go.
It's crazy. Then you said Seattle, Atlanta. That's definitely going to be a good game. I am very interested to see how Atlanta pulls off this, what they do.
Yeah, me too.
Because, you know, I think they could. There's a huge chance that they just completely fold.
It's happened before. I mean, Seattle has gone into Atlanta and won previously. Was that 2-3 years ago?
Yeah.
In the playoffs. Yeah,
but if they decrown Seattle.
I don't know what Atlanta's got. Because Atlanta's offense has been unstoppable all season. Seattle's got a very good defense. Everyone knows that, even without Earl Thomas, though that's a big hit. But the Seahawks' Achilles heel is their offensive line. And the Falcons just have a terrible defense. So are they going to be able to slow them down at all? Because Russell Wilson is a gangster playoff quarterback.
Yeah, and Matt Ryan is usually not that great in big games.
Potentially. He doesn't have that much playoff experience.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's not like it's his first rodeo. The guy's been in the league for, what, 7-8 years now?
Yeah, something like 2008. I think he was a rookie.
This is his eighth year?
Eight or nine, yeah.
Yeah.
Nine.
So there you go. The thing is about Dallas versus Green Bay, I still think in my mind, sorry to go back to that, but that Dak Prescott has to have a rookie moment. Whether it's this game or they win this game and it's the next game, or if they get to the Super Bowl, one of these three games, he is going to have a rookie game where everything he's just not on. I mean, it has to happen.
You would think so, right?
It has to. I mean, look, it just has to. It's like it's not possible for this to keep happening.
You're not allowed to be this good this quick.
Well, I mean, you think of all the other guys that did it. You know, Brady was in his second season, and he didn't even have a great playoff run. Like, he didn't play good in 2001. He played manageable, but it's not like he was, like, you know, superstar Brady back then.
No, he had like two good drives.
Through the playoffs?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
They were both game-winning drives, but yeah.
Right, but still, it's not like he wasn't, like, Dak's put up games where he's throwing 34, they're putting up 34 points and shit.
Yeah.
On decent teams that you would think, you know, it's supposed to be a competitive game. Russell Wilson, and he was in his second season when he, you know, pulled off that great year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's done it their rookie year. Nobody.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's meant to be broken, but it's still a rookie. You know?
Yeah, I know. I know. Everybody is counting on that happening at some point.
And yeah, Dallas's defense, just I don't think they're very good.
They've been overachieving.
I don't know how they're doing anything.
And Green Bay's coming in with the hottest offense in the league. Well, I mean, maybe Atlanta is right there with them.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, that good. I mean, Rodgers just in the second half at least, they just pushed fucking.
It was over.
They pushed them around, the Giants. They just pushed them right around.
It was over, yeah. If Jordy Nelson doesn't play, that's a big loss.
Yeah.
Who knows?
And then the last one,
there?
Pittsburgh at Kansas City. I mean, that's going to be that might be the hardest hitting game of the weekend, without a doubt, I think.
Yeah, the Pats Texans will be up there.
That'll be hard hitting too, but just I mean, Pittsburgh versus Kansas City, there's higher talent on that team. Well,
than the Texans?
I'm thinking than Texans defense, not really. Pittsburgh's not a very good defense. But Kansas City's not a good offense.
They're pretty good.
And then they, you know, Pittsburgh has a great offense and Kansas City has a great defense.
I think you're dumping on Casey's offense a little more than is deserved.
It's very, there's not much to it.
There's, well, Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
Tyreek Hill, the rookie, can score at any moment, and he catches the ball, they hand it off to him, screen passes, the whole deal.
Okay, and then you have, what's his name?
Travis Kelce is Travis the best Kelce. Tight end playing this year. Notice how I said that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis Kelce is unbelievable. Best route runner at the tight end position.
And but that's it.
Jeremy Maclin.
Jeremy Maclin has sucked up to this point.
Jeremy Maclin is a good player.
He is a good player who has had a terrible season. I had him on fantasy. He has done nothing.
Wasn't he banged up?
It doesn't matter. When he wasn't banged up, he was doing nothing. He had like two good games.
All right. Well, last year when the Patriots played the Chiefs in the playoffs, the Chiefs came in with Albert Wilson as their best receiver. Albert Wilson. Who's that guy?
Maclin was on that team.
I know Maclin was hurt.
Oh.
Yeah. Albert Wilson is best known this season for taking a fake punt to the end zone in Atlanta. Like he's like not really playing offense anymore. This is a more skilled offensive team this season with Tyreek Hill and Jeremy Maclin healthy. Spencer Ware is now coming back. Charcandrick West has been there.
But still, it's tough for me to say that they're can score all these points. I mean, they don't score a ton of points. Maybe against Pittsburgh they will, because I think nothing of Pittsburgh's defense.
I know.
I think they have a very good linebacking core, and then they have nothing on the line or in the secondary, in my mind at least.
That's why, did you see, you weren't watching the game yesterday, but when they did the introductions for their defense, they gave two defensive linemen. Two.
What do you mean? So,
like, you know how they do the starters? This is, these are their starting, they have two defensive linemen and four linebackers, because they're like, fuck it, we don't have enough of these guys. Cam Hayward's on IR.
You're right.
We'll put Stephon Tuitt out there and some bloke next to him, and then we'll just load the field with linebackers.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's ways to beat people with just linebackers. I mean, happens a lot.
Yeah, the only thing I'm saying is that this Chiefs offense can put up at least 20 points.
No, I absolutely.
They're
I
that good.
No, they're definitely. I mean, I don't mean to make them. Do I make them sound that bad that they can't score 20 points? I think they could score 20. They could even score, you know, against Pittsburgh, they might be able to score 30.
Yeah, potentially.
I mean, but.
Good special teams.
You know, from a paid, you know, looking at the Patriots, I guess I'm looking ahead a little bit. But for this game, they could definitely score that much. And the best part about it, in my mind, is if Pittsburgh wins, you know that after what Kansas City defense is going to do, he's going to be hurt in some capacity. There is no way Ben Roethlisberger comes out of this game winning and healthy.
He's already banged up.
He's already, that's right, he's already banged up. Just, I mean, it's Ben. He's going to get hurt. He's great, but he's going to hurt an ankle or a shin or a knee or a shoulder or his back or something. Something's going to, you know, give.
They're going to be playing outdoors at Arrowhead. It's going to be frozen.
Yeah.
Justin Houston's playing his first game in a month. He's going to come out flying. D Ford has been terrific. Tom Bahali is still there, not to mention Dontari Poe.
Yep.
They got a whole cast of game wreckers. Eric Berry, Jesus. Marcus Peters.
Yeah.
They can take the ball away. They can hurt your players. They can do whatever they want. Yeah,
they got a hell of a defense. They really do. And
Jesus, Pittsburgh's offense looked unbelievable against the Dolphins.
And the Dolphins don't have a terrible defense either, so.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell was doing anything he wanted. Antonio Brown couldn't be tackled. Yeah. Roethlisberger had all day. I mean, he got banged up a little bit at the end there, but for the most part, he was looking clean as a whistle.
Yeah, so these are two. It's funny the similarities between the Pittsburgh Kansas City game and the Seattle Atlanta game. You have two great defenses versus two great offenses, and then on the flip side,
it's like middling units.
Middling units, exactly. So it's very firearms type thing. Which one's going to prevail?
Who would you prefer to win this Steelers Chiefs game?
You know, I'd,
assuming the Patriots move on to the AFC Championship.
It's kind of a coin toss to me. I mean, a lot of people I feel are really afraid of Pittsburgh, but I mean, I have no reason to think Kansas City is, or Pittsburgh's any better than Kansas City, if they're even better. I mean, I almost rather Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I guess, just because I know we can probably score a lot on them.
But they look like they could score a lot on most teams, too.
I know that. So, but I mean, Kansas City is, you know, that's going to be a down and dirty game. Like, that's a really good defense. I can see that defense giving Brady some struggles.
Yeah. I think I'm with you. The unbalanced teams that have one side of the ball that is much better than the other side,
make it to the playoffs a lot, but
they don't do well.
Well, it seems like the only the ones that are defense heavy do well. Like you look back at the Broncos this past season.
Yeah, exactly.
Teams that have that high powered offense, like some of the Falcons teams in years past, the Packers in the last couple of years, they haven't been able to fare that well in January.
Well, and the defense usually prevails in that situation.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's what Kansas City has. They have that vaunt. I mean, you just named five guys, and those are all top guys at their position.
Yeah, they're like practically all pros, all of those.
Yeah. I mean, Eric Berry is scary at safety.
Eric Berry's incredible. Marcus Peters takes the ball way better than any cornerback.
Yeah. And then their pass rush is crazy. So, I mean, that's scarier to me, and like you're saying, versus that prolific offense. I mean, we can throw some wrinkles in to kind of make them skip some beats on offense.
Hopefully.
I mean, you know, it's tough to block Antonio Brown and Le'Veon Bell, but I think it's more doable. In the NFC, I'd love to see Green Bay beat Dallas, but just from a, you know, to beat Dallas standpoint, but I'd almost rather, you know, if you're talking about a Super Bowl matchup of all these teams, I'd rather play Dallas, maybe Atlanta. Definitely.
Probably Atlanta number one.
Dallas number two.
Dallas number two.
Right.
Probably Green Bay number three. I don't even want to see Seattle.
We did beat them, though.
In the Super Bowl, yeah. We lost this year.
Yeah, by barely, though.
Mm-hmm.
It's a close game. And then, yeah, it'd be nice to see Atlanta knock off Seattle. I was in Vegas this week for the show, the CES show, and everyone's a Seattle fan. So many Seattle fans was just pissing me off. It's like, why do you like them? They're all a bunch of assholes.
Were they all wearing 12? Were they all yelling, "We're the loudest"?
They should have been. No, but there was a lot of there's a lot of different numbers for them that they were using, they were wearing. But everyone, Seattle fan, is crazy.
Well represented. Good for
them. They were the most represented there by far.
Degenerates, all those Seattle fans.
I don't just going to
Vegas.
They're dicks. Just a bunch of dicks. They play like a bunch of dicks. They get in fights with each other on the sidelines.
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
You know?
I'm definitely going to be a Falcons fan. Obviously, Pats fan. I think I'd rather see the Steelers win because I don't want to face the difficult defense in Kansas City. Yep. And then I'm going with the Cowboys. I like them.
You're taking the Cowboys, huh?
Well, I'm a huge Dak Prescott guy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I don't know. For some reason, the aura of Aaron Rodgers keeps growing, and I want to take him down a peg or two.
Yeah. I don't think they have the talent on their team to win the Super Bowl this year, especially if Jordy's hurt.
Yeah, we saw what happened to them last season when Jordy got hurt.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at their defense. They don't have a good defense. They're another defense who recently has been overachieving. They played how they should have, what was expected of them most of the season, as in bad.
Yeah.
And they've been playing fairly decent the last few weeks, but it's more like a Dallas thing. Like, they don't have a lot of talent. The only people you hear about on their defense anymore is Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews.
I know. Julius Peppers, the oldest guy on that team, and is probably playing the best defense of anyone.
Right. I mean, it's not even like they're talking about anybody else on the defense. It starts and ends with those two guys.
Well, anybody that watched the game yesterday against the Giants saw how much separation the Giants receivers were able to get against
absolutely.
Their secondary.
I mean, there was, there was definitely two dropped automatic touchdowns if the balls were caught, and then there was a few others that could have went for touchdowns. A
few other, downfield catches that would have been first downs and big plays for them, but two go routes in the end zone both dropped. They were just, I mean, the Giants receivers were, they weren't even, like, really trying to jam them. They were just roasting them off the line, getting deep, and You can't play coverage like that in the playoffs. If you see Seattle and they're going to throw Tyler Lockett down the field, or how about Dez Bryant going downfield, Terrence Williams, Atlanta, and all those receivers.
And they're not going to be able to stop that, but Green Bay does have the offense to match it. But as we just said, as playoff football goes to show, it's always more
defense
vaunting for
wins.
The defense. Yeah. The defense usually, finds that, that Achilles heel, or whatever you want to call it, of the team. Somehow they get a way to shut them down. We've seen a lot of, you think about all the high powered offenses in the past that were just shut down by great defenses that nobody could shut down all year. Somehow somebody figured something out, or something happened, and that was it.
It's called Peyton Manning's career.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Did you have anything else you want to say about this divisional round coming up?
Not much. What do you think of the game tonight?
The national championship game tonight. Alabama has been dominating everybody. I am very much against Alabama just because I don't love dynasties that much unless it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I'll be pulling for Clemson. Plus, I'm a Deshaun Watson fan.
I think Alabama's going to win, but I'd be pulling for Clemson, too, just for what you said there. Same reason. I do want to say it is pretty sad that the ticket sales are going for $1,700 on average a piece for
what?
That game. $1,700, I think they said on ESPN today. A piece.
Oh, okay, but that's on average. So that includes
on average
box seats and sideline passes and all that.
Sure.
Shit.
It's on average, I think. So, you know, there's lower end and higher end. Or maybe, I don't know. Maybe that's could be the bottom floor. I don't know. Anyway, $1,700, let's say average, and not one player sees a dime.
Yeah, it's stupid, right?
That's fucked up. Like, that is universally fucked up.
I know. They can't even make money off their own name.
No, no.
You can't write your name on a sheet of paper and give that to somebody for $10, even though that person would give you $100 for it.
Right.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. You get screwed.
How do they own your name? I don't get that.
It's fucked up that, you know, there's people making millions and millions. I mean, the stadium's got to be, what, 60, 70, 80,000 people. Just do the math.
It's the Buccaneers stadium, so yeah, I think it's like 60 or 70.
I mean, we're talking almost $100 million in revenue just in ticket sales alone.
Yeah, you're not, I mean, do you know how much these commercials are going to be going for?
Right, commercials, TV licensing, merchandising, marketing material, everything. I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, and the people that are actually playing the game, and the most important part of it, can't see a dime. I mean, that's, you know, give it them when they graduate, give them something like a few grand or, I don't know, whatever, or put a bond in their name that they can't touch for 10 years or some kind of trust. I mean, it's just insane. It's like, it's pretty fucked up. It really is.
It's crazy. I saw a great joke about this. It was Doug Stanhope on Twitter. I want to make sure I get it right. He said the best name, the best nickname in college football is Tennessee, the Volunteers. And he goes, hashtag pay him, you fucks.
Yeah. It's crazy. I mean, you know, these guys, the whole world, the whole country's watching. And, you know, these kids, these poor kids, who a lot of them probably don't have any money, you know.
Well, I mean, how many people at 19
have any money anyway?
Do have money, yeah.
Yeah, right. So, I mean.
And they're generating so much revenue, so much attention. And then people get mad at Christian McCaffrey for not playing in the bowl game before going into the NFL. He's like, dude, you know, I don't get paid for that shit, and it could cost me millions of dollars if something goes wrong.
Did he not play? He didn't play in the bowl game this year?
No, he didn't play in his bowl game. It's like, I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, we're not playing for any. I'm playing for nothing.
Yeah, he was risking it all to gain nothing.
Was he supposed to be potential first rounder? How high in the first round?
He's a second round player.
Sonic second rounder? Okay.
Yeah, I think so. But
well, someone will reach for him, probably.
Why? Because he's white? How dare you?
No, because everyone reaches for quarterbacks.
He's a running back. That's why.
He's a running back. Oh, I don't know a shit about college football. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. You just gave it away.
Yep.
Yeah, they should certainly be paid. I don't understand how there are, like, you see some guy who's the chairman of the SEC. The Southeastern Conference.
Yep.
And it's like, you know, that guy has a whole bunch of people working for him too. It's not just one dude running the
SEC. He's probably a millionaire.
What do you do? What does that person do? I mean, does he make the schedule? I can pull up a spreadsheet and do that in 10 minutes.
Relations between each team? Like, I have no idea.
They're all signed up. They're all in.
I don't know. I have no idea.
What are you doing?
And he's probably loaded.
Yeah, is he working on the contract with CBS like once every 10 years? What do these people do? And they're getting paid off of the hard work of these kids who aren't seeing shit and putting their bodies at risk.
Yeah, it's really sad. And it's pretty sad that no one, I mean, I know why obviously the colleges don't do anything because they're making tons of money and they don't have to pay anybody. Why would they fucking get rid of that incredible deal? I mean,
yeah,
you know,
it's the best deal in the world.
It's you know, they're basically, these kids are like, they're like gladiators. They're fucking like gladiators, you know, slave sports warriors out there.
Oh, you essentially can't be throwing that word around.
Well,
so
I mean, they do get an education, so it's not like they're getting nothing. But yeah. I mean, how many of them take this education seriously? And is your education worth, you know, when you're generating hundreds of millions of dollars? It's tough to say that's equal compensation.
Mm-hmm. Listen to us getting on our soapbox here on the Patriot Podcast.
Well, I just saw that, and I just couldn't. I just had to say something. I mean, it's like insane. That's well, like that's a Super Bowl ticket.
Yeah, everybody thinks this.
I know. I know.
One of the big issues is there's not a real clean way to do it. How do you do it? Because so many people are tuning in this tonight to watch Deshaun Watson. Not many people want to see the left guard from Alabama.
Well, still, so, I mean, if you give them all something, it's, you know, at least fairer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you can't start getting into individual contracts and stuff like that. But I mean, if you say, you know, you win the national championship game, everyone on the team, every starter on the team gets $50,000. Everyone who played in the game gets $10,000, and everyone on the team gets $5,000 or something, you know, something.
You're going to see some 19-year-old balling out.
Hey, man, I mean, if they're doing that fucking some or well, no, but the safe way to do it is you put it in like some kind of bond. You invest the money for them in a very safe form. You know, you get them a 30-year bond. So, okay, they can't see the money now, but when they're in their 50s or 60s, that could help out a lot of people.
Ugh, that might be a little long. Maybe that until could be they're long. Out of college.
10 years out of college. However you want to do it, there's a way to do it. I mean, yeah, finance is crazy enough where they could find some very safe, easy, logistical way of doing it.
Oh, and then it's like if you graduate, you get the money. And then they get extra incentive to graduate, and graduation rates go up. There's a lot of cheating. They'd find a way around it. They're all cheating on tests.
Well, they all probably cheat on tests anyways. Oh, that's, you know, come on now.
Don't be letting out their secrets.
Yeah, right.
All right, I think that will do it here.
Yeah.
For us this week on the Patriot Podcast. Looking forward to another good week, or hopefully a better week of playoff football this weekend. Go Pats, Saturday Night Football. Luckily, we play on Saturday, so we get an extra week. If we win, we get an extra day
rest
to prepare for, because the AFC Championship game will be on Sunday.
Oh, it's going to be exciting, isn't it, Sean?
That's the playoff spirit right there.
Yeah, it's going to be great. You got to love playoff football.
Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week to talk about this game.
Absolutely.
See you then.
Adios.